and it's Martin Luther King Day. For many a day of volunteering and celebrations of his life, including in Atlanta, where the civil rights leader was born, January 15, 1929. Dr. King is also being remembered where he died 50 years ago this year in Memphis, Tennessee. He was in Memphis to support striking sanitation workers. The night before he was gunned down, he delivered what turned out to be his last speech.
The question is not if I stop to help this man in need, what will happen to me? The question is, if I do not stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to them? That's the question.
And Dr. King had asked that question in Memphis about other groups of people, bus drivers, political candidates. Otis Sanford, professor of journalism at the University of Memphis, has been remembering two other visits, as publicized and only slightly less controversial. Professor Sanford, Otis, welcome back to Here and Now.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Well, you write for the Commercial Appeal that King was in Memphis in 1957 and 1959, two big trips, big speeches, highly anticipated, and he was in his 20s. Start with why he was there in 1957. This was just after the Montgomery, Alabama bus boycott ended.
Yes, it was. And actually, that was when he was just emerging onto the national scene. The boycott had lasted some 381 days, as most people recall. It ended successfully with the end to discrimination. Three African American fraternities in Memphis reached out to him. Again, he was 28 years old at the time, and asked him to come to Memphis. To speak to African Americans in Memphis, not just about the successful bus boycott in Montgomery, but also about the growing civil rights movement throughout the South that Memphis was poised to take advantage of.
Well, and you mentioned there was a Supreme Court decision that ended discrimination that was on buses, and the boycott had been in response to the arrest of Rosa Parks, who refused to give up her seat to a
white rider.
Blacks were told they had to sit back of the bus, so they didn't get on the bus at all. And that really hit the industry hard. And finally, a court ruled that the segregation, the discrimination on the public buses was unconstitutional. This is a huge victory in this, as you say, burgeoning civil rights movement. So what was the buzz in Memphis when this 28-year-old Martin Luther King was going to come to town?
Well, in the African-American community, Robin, it was buzzing with excitement in the black community. There was a lot of angst in the white community, and there was a little bit of fear there would be some unrest. But again, this was an event that was put together by African-American educators here in town, the black fraternities. It was never intended to be some protest march. It was really an event for the city to really get to know Dr. King and his emerging leadership of the civil rights movement.
And 1,700 people did come out to hear his speech.
Yes.
And he talked about the bus boycott. Some of his beautiful lines were spoken that night about walking versus riding.
Yes, he did. I mean, the one that I remember the most, he said, it is better to walk in dignity than to ride in humiliation.
Yeah.
And that statement to me goes even beyond just the bus boycott. It spoke to all of the issues surrounding civil rights, the lunch counter demonstrations, the desegregation of schools. I mean, all of it had to do with dignity as opposed to humiliation.
That was in 1957. 1959, he comes back again and spoke to a full crowd at the Mason Temple. There were African-American candidates in that year's city election, one of them Russell Sugarman, running for a seat on the city commission. Lots of anxiety this time around.
Oh, yes. Russell Sugarman and Ben Hooks, who is obviously the very nationally known civil rights leader in his own right. They were running to become the first African-American elected officials in the city. And Russell Sugarman, who's still alive and had the best shot to win because there were no runoffs, and he was the only African-American candidate against five white candidates. And the voting numbers would have favored him. And Dr. King and Russell Sugarman went to college together at Morehouse. And that's how he got Dr. King to come to town to speak at a rally just about a week or two before the election. There were a huge number of people. It was a packed audience at Mason Temple that night. And he exhorted the crowd to turn out in huge numbers to support that entire African-American ticket. It was called the volunteer ticket that was running to win seats.
Well, but the anxiety on the white side of town was, as you said, that the whites would split the votes in the run against Sugarman and he would emerge the winner. So the whites scrambled and convinced one of the white candidates to drop out.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, it was led by the future mayor. He wasn't the mayor at that time, but he really didn't have any opposition. A guy by the name of Henry Loeb, his name pops up later on because he was the mayor during the sanitation strike. But in 1959, he was running basically unopposed as mayor because the incumbent mayor got sick and dropped out. Mm-hmm. He was the one that led the effort for other white city commission candidates to get out, because in his words, it would not be good to have what he called the Negro on the city commission. And one of the white candidates did eventually get out.
So what are you saying to Memphians? Because, again, the day that everyone does think of is 1968, when he'd come to support sanitation workers and was assassinated at the Lorraine Motel. You know, what do you want Memphians to take out of this reminder of their history?
The reason I wrote about that, Robin, is that I wanted Memphians to, most Memphians, and not just Memphians, but most people, only associate Dr. King with Memphis with 1968. But the fact is, Dr. King cared a lot about this city of Memphis. He cared and he knew a lot of people here. His quest for justice and equality started long before he was asked to come here and support the sanitation workers. And he did so. So I just wanted to remind Memphians and basically remind the nation that Dr. King, as a very, very young man, was willing to go anywhere that it demanded in order to try to bring about racial justice, desegregation, and unfairness. And he did that in Memphis years before the assassination in 68.
Well, and just what about Memphis today? One of the poorest large cities in America, 60% of the population African-American. 200 homicides in Memphis last year, 142 were African-Americans. You know, what would Martin Luther King see? What would his legacy be?
Well, I mean, I think that obviously he would be despondent over the crime issue, not just here, but in other places. I'm sure he'd be despondent about the killings in Chicago, the killings in Baltimore, or anywhere else. I mean, and Memphis is no different from that. And Memphis does have its issues with crime. It has other issues as well. And a lot of it breed the crime. Poverty, a lack of quality and adequate public education in the inner city, lack of high-paying jobs. There's a lot of youth violence that nags the city as well. I think that he would be talking about those issues. I think he would be working with communities to try to address those concerns. He certainly would be pushing for better wages. That's why he was here for the sanitation workers. They were, as a matter of fact, his statement that night in that last speech had to deal with starvation wages, as he said, that the sanitation workers were receiving. So I think he would be addressing these issues in a very strong way.
Well, but we also have Nazis and white supremacists emboldened to march in public. We have videos that, cell phone videos that have revealed police brutality against unarmed African Americans. Not all police, of course, but really disturbing cases. We've had kids marching to say that their lives matter. We've also seen a move to examine the justice system and how many young blacks have been sent to jail as opposed to their white counterparts for sometimes the same crime. Is he weeping? You know, I mean.
I always hesitate to say with a lot of specificity about how Dr. King would see today's America. But I have to think that he would look at this and see that we have regressed in a lot of ways. We have taken several steps forward since his assassination, I think in the 1970s and 80s and 90s, and certainly into the 2000s with the election of Barack Obama. There was certainly hope that we were getting somewhere here as it relates to racial equality and certainly equal justice. But now, and for whatever reason, I mean, there is this backlash. White supremacists, white nationalists, the Ku Klux Klan, the neo-Nazis, they're emboldened more now to express their views. I think they have political cover to do it. And all of those things are very, very depressing. I think Dr. King would be very upset about that, but he would be speaking out against it as he did in the 60s.
That's Otis Sanford, professor of journalism at the University of Memphis. His latest book is From Boss Crump to King Willie, How Race Changed Politics in Memphis. And we'll link you to his article on the Memphis history with MLK at hereandnow.org. Professor, thank you, and have a thoughtful day.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate talking with you.